This is a Locker Room production.
Shaken Red Nation, it's Jeremy Browner here for the recap show for Clippers Rockets. Rockets fall once again, despite a solid effort from the team tonight, but they do fall at the end of the day, 109-104, your final score tonight. John Wall, your player of the game, arguably 27 and 13 assists for him. Christian Wood also had a big game, 24 points and 19 rebounds. I can't remember a game where Christian Woods had 19 rebounds. That might be a season high. And I really like what we saw from him tonight. Kelly Olynyk also had a decent game, although 23 points, 10 rebounds, didn't get that shot at the end. We'll definitely talk about that final possession at some point during our show. And I'm not sure if Michael Brown's going to join me tonight. We agreed that this show would be on Locker Room, and this means it's my night to host, but he could pop in at any point. So, and possibly the people that are listening to the show today. So, yeah, you know, tonight the Rockets, they played the Clippers tough. And yes, the Clippers played without a lot of their main guys. Serge Ibaka didn't play. Kawhi Leonard didn't play. Marcus Morris didn't play. Patrick Beverly didn't play. So they had mostly the B team out there tonight. But Paul George did play. He had 33, a game high for the Clippers, 33 points, 14 rebounds. Reggie Jackson had 19 points, 14 of those coming in the fourth quarter, where the Clippers, they needed to mount a comeback. I mean, in the third quarter, the Rockets were down 5 going into it, but came out up 3, I believe. It was, you know, they were down 4 at halftime and managed to squeak out a 4-point lead at the end of the third quarter. And up until about 7 minutes left in the fourth quarter, the Rockets looked like they had a shot at this one. And unfortunately, the Clippers, that's when they heated up and they started hitting a ton of threes. They only made 12 threes tonight, but it felt like at least half of those came in that fourth quarter. I want to kind of look at the Clippers. I want to look at the Clippers shooting chart here for a little bit. But yeah, so the Clippers, they made the 4 threes in the fourth quarter, and they shot, they shot 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 of 18 from the field. So they shot above 50%. You know, the Rockets, you know, given all that they've gone through this season, obviously, and tonight with no Kevin Porter, still in health and safety protocols from the incident that happened in Miami, you know, They played really well tonight. John Wall, in somewhat of an audition. I know I've talked about him going to the Clippers for a couple of weeks now, but I think somewhat of an audition for him as the Clippers might look for a true point guard once the season's over. But Clippers are a good team, guys. They won 11-12 now. They, even though they didn't have their full strength line tonight, they're still a really good team. And the Rockets played them really tough. And I'm happy for my Rockets tonight. I think they played well. They played not necessarily well enough to win against a team that was a little bit injured, but they played well. And they got the loss. And the tank moves forward. They now have the worst record by a full game over the Minnesota Timberwolves. So if we're looking at the standings, a full game behind the Timberwolves, but they've also and they only have 12 games to go. So if we go 0-12, the Rockets are for sure landing the at least one of the top 5 picks. Now that 5th pick could go to OKC if that conveys, but at this point, that's where the Rockets sit in the standings. And look, tonight I'm gonna bring it back to that final possession that the Rockets had. Now, if anyone wants to come up and talk with me, ask me questions, feel free to come up and hit that speaker request button. I'd greatly appreciate some company up here, but I do want to talk about that final possession for the Rockets. So Paul George misses the 3 on the other end, and the Rockets have a chance, shot clock turned off, with a chance to come within 1 or tie the game. And of course, given where the Rockets are right now, you're going to tie the game. So I see, as John Wall comes up the court, He's dribbling up the ball. Kelly Olynyk's already, like, waving his hands. Like, he's very much, like, you can tell this play is going to Kelly Olynyk, right? But John Wall wants to, like, set something up, like, wants to try to figure something out instead of just giving the ball, you know, finding a play for Kelly right away. He takes the screen from Wood. He misses Wood as he kind of, after the screen that Wood gives, he kind of flashes out to the 3-point line, and that might have been a good shot, but then he says no to that, and he wants to take another route, and then he finds Jayshon Tate, and Jayshon Tate, I mean, look, there's plenty of time left, like, there's still probably about, you know, 15 seconds or so, but at the end of the, he ends up going to Jayshon, and then Jayshon kind of dumps it to Kelly, and then Kelly kind of just takes a dribble, moves a little bit to the left, and hits a three. And, like, it wasn't the worst shot in the world, don't get me wrong. It was, like, he had an open look. There could have been a better look, and they had time for it. And my issue with the Rockets in their three-point shooting, the reason why they're one of the worst three-point shooting teams in the league, if not the worst, is because they don't get good looks from three. They don't create good looks from three. That's a big reason why they don't shoot well from three, is because they're not getting open enough. And that was a perfect example of that play at the end. And of course, you know, Kelly, the shot is nowhere near going in. Like, it just wasn't a very well-developed play. Now, they did have a timeout, and I don't have a problem with Steven Silas not calling that timeout. If you call the timeout, it gives the Clippers, who are a great defensive team, a chance to set up their defense. And I have no problem with the Rockets, you know, taking, like, not going for the timeout there. That was the right call by Steven Silas. It was just the wrong execution. And look, the Rockets, that's been their issue all season, is they don't execute well. They have good plans, but they don't execute them well. And it's because they're a very young team, and they have trouble playing together because they haven't had as much experience together. And that's totally okay. But in that moment, I just wish they had waited a little bit and gotten the right play, or maybe go to Kelly a little bit quicker and find him a better look than what they could have gotten. That's all. But if there are any questions, feel free to throw it down in the chat, or you can come up and speak. I know we have Vinny, Jay, Broderick, Silver, and Christian here. Thank you guys for coming and supporting me here tonight for Clippers Rockets. And I mean, look, the Rockets are 15-45 now. They've been officially eliminated from playoff contention. So close, guys. So close. Maybe next year. And probably not next year. Probably a couple years from now. But, you know, games like this are going to happen. I really do like the Clippers. I hope I can find some kind of Clippers guy here tonight so we can talk some Clippers. Because, you know, the Clippers are pretty good. I know that a lot of teams are kind of overlooking them because there's the Lakers still, and then there's Denver that's been making headlines recently because Jamal Murray got hurt, and the Clippers are still behind the Suns and the Jazz. However, with tonight's win, the Clippers sit 2.5 games back of the number one seed, just a half game back of the number two seed. And that is very, very interesting. And they've won 11 of 12. Like, this is why they are so close to the top. And I wouldn't say the Clippers care about being the number one seed, because if they did, I think they'd be playing Kawhi a lot more. They obviously care more about the playoffs, and I don't blame them for that. But even with an abbreviated lineup like they had tonight, they're still able to get wins, and they're still able to move forward. So they're 43-19 right now, the third best record in the West and also the entire league. And if you look at their schedule moving forward, right, you look at their schedule moving forward, they have two games. They have two more games on this road trip. They go play New Orleans. They play Phoenix on Wednesday. That game is the nationally televised game on ESPN. That might be a huge game for home court advantage in that playoffs. Could you imagine if Chris Paul gets to play the Clippers in the playoffs? How crazy that would be. But that's besides the point. Then they have four games at home, one against Denver Saturday the 1st, which is funny because The first game on the first is Rockets Warriors, and that's on national TV. And I'm sure it's on national TV for Steph Curry, and that's really it. But then the second game in that doubleheader is against Denver, Denver Clippers. So that's also a very important game. They get Toronto. They get the Lakers, which could be an important game. We don't know if LeBron will be back by then. New York, who could be the hottest team in the league right now. That's on May 9th. Then they head cross-country to play Toronto, Charlotte, back to Houston in 3 weeks to play the Rockets in the penultimate game of the season, and then to Oklahoma City. So of those games, they could go 10-2, and maybe they make the number one seed. Maybe they don't. The thing is, they have to win all of these games in order to have a chance at the number one seed, because Utah and Phoenix are just that good. That game on Wednesday is definitely one I'm going to watch. But I do see that we have a question from Vinny in the chat. Do you think the Clippers is a possible destination for John Wall? Yes, I do. And I do think that tonight the Clippers definitely took a little bit of notice of John Wall. Definitely. Look, the Clippers need a point guard. Like, they need a point guard. It's very clear that Reggie Jackson, although he's good, look, John Wall would be an upgrade. And I've mentioned a couple of trade opportunities for the Rockets and for John Wall. And the biggest one that I like the most is one with the Clippers. And it goes a little something like this. So John Wall goes to the Clippers and a first-round pick, either one this year or one next year. The Clippers need first-round picks. That's a bit. That's another big reason why they do this deal. And they take on John Wall's salary for probably two more seasons. You get that pick so that you can dangle in some trade options in the offseason, right? Or during trade deadline season or whenever. That they need picks because they traded all their picks to Oklahoma City so that they can have Paul George and Kawhi. So they need picks. John Wall, in order to be traded, needs a pick attached to him, no matter how good he is. Yes, he played really well tonight, but still, he's the point guard of a team that's won 15 of 60 games. Like, he is not, like, he's going to need a pick attached to him. He's making $40+ million for the worst team in the NBA. So John Wall and a pick go to Los Angeles. In order to come back, they're going to need a big salary. And the biggest salary that's kind of empty is Luke Kennard, who makes $64 million over the next four seasons. Now, that sounds like a lot, because it is. And Luke Kennard doesn't deserve making that kind of money. But, A, it gives the Rockets a shooter. Not necessarily a great shooter, but it will help match those salaries in return. Patrick Beverley is also going to probably have to come in return, considering he makes a hefty amount for the Clippers. There will also have to be likely, you know, I would like to see them be able to, like, attach a young player like an Amir Coffey. I don't think it's going to happen, but it'd have to be some combination of Beverly, Kennard, probably Rajon Rondo, who would end up getting waived because he's not going to play for the Rockets, a team that isn't close to contention. And probably they'll have to do a sign-and-trade with Patrick Patterson, who you can sign like a 3-year contract. You can guarantee the first season, and then the next two can be non-guaranteed. And Patrick Patterson's a guy that you can play. Like, you saw him tonight. He started tonight. He was 5'11 from the field. He can hit threes. They were talking on the Rockets broadcast about how that's a big reason why he's been able to stay in the league for as long as he has. Think about it, guys. He was drafted in 2010 by the Rockets. And, like, when he played for the Rockets, like, he wasn't special. Like, we drafted him in the lottery, but he didn't feel like a special, like, player. Like, I'm surprised a little surprised that he has been able to stay in the league this long. But part of the reason why he has is because he's been able to evolve his game with the times of the NBA. As the league has required its stretch fours to shoot the three ball a lot more, he's been able to adapt his game along with that. So that's a big reason why he's in the league, and he's playable. Like, I would play him in the first half of next season and then trade him to the highest bidder at the deadline. Like, that is definitely something you can do, especially, and he'll have a very tradable contract considering he's not going to make too much money and he's going to have non-guaranteed years for years 2 and 3 potentially. So Patrick Patterson's coming, Patrick Beverley's coming, Rajon Rondo's going to get cut, but he'll come in the deal, and Luke Kennard will be like the main trade piece. So if you incorporate all those guys, you get guy, like Beverley's a great guy to have for a rebuild like this for the Rockets. I would love to see him and Kevin Porter team up. I think that they could be really strong for each other. I think that he could help whichever player the Rockets get in. He adds some defensive identity to this team, as we saw when he was here originally. And look, I will always love Patrick Beverley, so I would be very happy if he somehow found his way back in Houston. I've been wanting him back in Houston ever since we traded him to Los Angeles. So maybe that's a bit selfish on my part, but think about it. Like, of all the John Wall trades out there that could possibly happen, there's very few teams that are going to need a point guard like a John Wall and that would be willing to take him on. But the Clippers are almost the perfect destination for John Wall because they need a pick, because they need a point guard, because they're willing to pay John Wall, and because they have potential people to make that trade work. So, yes, to answer your question, Vinny, the Clippers are a possible destination for John Wall. But we'll see whether or not that actually happens in the offseason. We're still a couple of months away from, you know, revisiting some John Wall trade scenarios. But we will definitely be doing that over the offseason. I know that there are a lot of people that want to keep John Wall, that want to trade John Wall. But at the same time, look, with Kevin Porter out tonight, you didn't really see this. But, like, he's not harping tonight on Kevin Porter's development because Kevin Porter's not playing. But he is a roadblock for Kevin Porter Jr. in a way. And the way he is on the court. Now, tonight, without Kevin Porter Jr., without him needing the ball in his hands, without the usage rate, you know, needing to go a little bit towards him, without him needing those touches, John Wall got to play his game. And this is John Wall at his best, in my opinion. He's the number one floor general, doesn't take away. Like, Armani Brooks is a really good guy to pair next to him because he's a shooter. And Jay up here, he's put his speaker request button. Jay, welcome to the show. How are you, my friend?
Hey, I'm doing good. Can you hear me okay,
Jeremy? I can hear you loud and clear.
All right. I just wanted to say, first off, big fan of the podcast before you guys even started in with Locker Room. But I think that for me, what you're proposing in regards to the Clippers, like trading with the Clippers, it's so funny that we find ourselves in a position again to trade with the Clippers and for it to be, you know, all these moving parts and for the other side, just one major person, you know, for the first time, you know, we're looking at Chris Paul coming our way and sending a bunch of moving parts their way. And now we're discussing sending John Wall their way for a bunch of moving parts our way, kind of retreads, players we're familiar with, things of that nature. I think the thing that I would caution against is we've sort of gotten into the habit, at least with this year, with, you know, trading off James Harden, we've sort of gotten the habit of trading like a major star for kind of the aisle of misfit toys, you know?
Yeah.
And we don't want to get in that habit because we don't want to start looking like a Minnesota or Phoenix in previous years or some of those other teams, because the hope is we've got a solid plan to rebuild and start putting together players that mesh, and we got a direction and we start attracting free agents and all that good stuff. So I don't know. If that's all our alternative, I probably would say, well, let's just hang on to John Wall and see what else we can do. You know?
Yeah. I'm
that's,
glad you brought
that's
that
basically
up.
It.
I'm glad you brought that up and thank you for the kind words. But I'll say this, you know, there is, I'm not, like, necessarily for or against trading John Wall. I think that there are a lot of scenarios that come in. But let me kind of throw this question back at you. In a world where the Rockets acquire the number one pick through the lottery and grab Cade Cunningham, who needs the ball in his hands, and then pair him next to Kevin Porter, who also needs the ball in his hands, what is the need for John Wall at that point? And would John Wall be a roadblock towards that? Now, obviously, a lot depends on that lottery. And because if the lottery goes completely awry and the Rockets don't even get a pick in that top of the draft, then I think you have to keep John Wall, because you're only going to have two first round picks that are going to be late, and your team looks, you know, screwed. And I really hope that doesn't happen, because the Rockets would totally be the laughingstock of the league if that were to be the case. But look, the Rockets can totally change it around if they get one of these top 2, 3, 4 picks. And I think the idea of trading John Wall also gives you the power to spend in free agency. And I understand this whole, like, we don't want to trade superstars kind of thing, because we've kind of done that. And I get that, like, because also at the end of the day, you want to attract superstars here. So what message does that send if you're sending superstars away? But I'd also like to keep in mind that we traded for a superstar and he stayed here for 8, 9 years. That's a pretty long time. And during that 8 or 9 years, he was able to attract a whole bunch of superstars. Without James Harden, there's no Dwight Howard. There's no Chris Paul. There's no Russell Westbrook. There's no John Wall. So you need to be able to get that superstar in order to come in. And whether you get that through free agency, whether you get that through the draft, you know, it doesn't really matter. You can go either, whether you get in a trade. But the main idea that you trade John Wall, and the main idea you attach a draft pick to it, the draft pick entices whoever it is. It gives them more incentive to take on a contract as hefty as John Wall's. John Wall's making $40+ million the next 2 seasons. That's $40 million that could be spent elsewhere. So the other contracts that you're bringing in, Patrick Beverley, he's a free agent after next season. So you only, like, John Wall, you're spending 2 years on him. Patrick Beverley, you're only spending one. And same with Patrick Patterson and Rajon Rondo, you're cutting. So that's in that trade scenario. Luke Kennard's the only person that you're going to have to pay beyond the 2022 season. But at the same time, like, you have to do it. Like, you have to have somebody. And that's the price that you have to pay, though, because you're paying Luke Kennard 4 years. But at the same time, you know, you're paying only $16 million versus $40 million for the next 2 seasons. And to me, I would rather have that package of players from the Clippers, because it gives me more elsewhere to spend, right? It gives me a chance to go out and get guys for heftier salaries, like a John Collins or other guys that may come down the road. And Luke Kennard, hopefully the Rockets will be able to give him some playing time to where you can flip him in the future. The way the Rockets are going to work in these next couple of years, there's going to be a lot of trades. There's going to be a lot of guy, like, shuffling in and out. Like, even though it was a pandemic season, I don't think that's the reason why you're seeing a lot of guys come in, come out. Like, Daquan Jeffries in, Anthony Lamb in, you know, Mason Jones out. Like, I think that's going to happen a lot in the next couple of years. That's just how rebuilding teams are, even in a non-COVID season. But the way that I see it, like, that's why you make that trade, so you have that flexibility moving forward. Even, and you take the trading superstars and you take that identity, and those are the cons, but at the end of the day, the pros will outweigh the cons.
Well, okay, so let's play the game that you guys kind of so often do on the show. Let's say I'm Stone's long lost brother.
Yeah.
I'm Jay Stone.
Jay Stone, welcome to the show.
If I'm him, okay, I'm really excited about the options you have in front of you. I understand what the team looks like now, but I'm really excited about my options. And looking at it, what I guess I would say is, okay, let's hope that we get, you know, we've done all this losing. Let's hope that we get this pick. The ideal, you know, is to get Cade Cunningham or whoever, Suggs, whoever we can get to start a positive sort of rebuild youth movement for this team. But the basketball gods may punish us for whatever reason, and we fall out, we lose our pick, and it goes to the Thunder. Well, now we have that backup option of, okay, We've still got John Wall under salary, under contract. Let's look west towards the Clippers and start discussing those types of deals. Okay. Because, you know, then we're in a position. Well, actually, no, I'm sorry. I have that backwards. If we get our pick, draft the person that we want, then we're looking west towards the Clippers and we're saying, hey, you know, we've got John Wall as an asset. What do you, you know, let's go ahead and start this, these moving parts. If we don't get the pick, then we're looking at, okay, let's hold on to John Wall. Let's see if we can get a little bit more growth of the players around him and, you know, really, really utilize that X factor in his contract, which is he's got experience. He understands what it is to be the man on his team. Let's see if some of that can rub off on Wood or Jay Sean or something mm-hmm. like that. So you do have those options at play. To address something else that you said in regards to like Harden being the superstar who attracted additional superstars, I guess that's a little bit of a sore point for me, only because the way that worked is the franchise pretty much had to give itself over to Harden completely while all of that was going on. So yeah, he was attracting players and bringing in free agents who wanted to play with him. But at the same time, you know, practice starts when Harden says, well, we're going to spend, you know, this night in this particular city because that's kind of what makes Harden comfortable. I don't want to get in that scenario again, although I would like to see us land somehow a superstar of Harden's caliber again. We just have to be smarter about the way that we approach how we, you know, somewhere in between what Morey gave him and what a Pat Riley would give you. If we can fall somewhere in between mm-hmm. there, I think we got a solid foundation for keeping a superstar happy, keeping them here, and attracting other stars and free agents who want to play here. So that's, yeah. I guess that's the way I'd play it as Jay Stone.
That's a good point, Jay Stone. And I'll say this, you know, when it comes to like getting a superstar again and making sure that they don't, you know, play the, I guess they don't say I'm the captain now and they take over right. the ship, they kind of mutiny. I think the days of that where the superstars aren't in control of the team are over. And that's a big, you know, a big reason why is because of how this era of superstars has kind of commanded themselves. And they've become the most powerful figures in the game, more powerful than even the owners. And you look at teams, like you look at the Lakers. The Lakers operate on LeBron's drum. And the Nets operate on Kevin Durant and Harden's drum. And the same goes with, you know, a lot of the teams that have won championships, right? The Heat are the only example, I think, of a team that has shown that they can be successful and not be on, you know, a superstar's drum. But I'm not sure, you know, but also it depends on who that guy is as well, what identity they're going to adopt. Jimmy Butler has been able to take this Heat culture idea and use it to move their team into the direction that he wants to see it. And that's all fine and good. Will that result in a championship? I think last year we saw that really worked in the bubble setting. But I think we've seen this season how, like, the Heat are good. They're a good basketball team. They're not title contenders this year. So I think that the team, like, one of these teams is going to win the title. It's going to be the Lakers or the Nets. Like, I can't – or maybe even the Clippers. After what I saw tonight, I do think that the Clippers have a decent shot if they get a nice little draw and if they stay healthy.
So you're not being fooled by Nuggets, Jazz, or
Nuggets lost it for me once Murray went down. The Jazz are, in my opinion, just a little too streaky, and I'm not sure if they can be able to withhold a 7-game series when you need to get the thing about the Jazz and the Suns that is a red flag for me is that they play a game where they play so quickly and they play with, you know, they hit threes and all that. And in the playoffs, that's all fine and good, but in the playoffs, you also need to be able to get a half-court bucket. And Chris Paul, I think, will play that role for the Suns really well, but it's going to change a lot of the style in which they play. And if they get a team like the Clippers in the second round, that Clippers defense is probably the best defense in the league. And then after that, you got to go play the Lakers, possibly, or the Jazz. Like, personally, I don't know how the Jazz are going to get past the Lakers. I think the Lakers are a terrible matchup for the Jazz. But I think for right now, experience will sell in the playoffs, and the teams with the most experience are the Lakers and the Nets. And so, to me, I hope I'm proven wrong, because I'd like to see a smaller market win, or a team that's, you know, I guess not the Lakers or the Nets win. Although I actually wouldn't hate the Nets winning for James, but, you know, not necessarily for anyone else on that team, or in Jeff Green, of course, but not necessarily any, and Mike D'Antoni, of course, but I guess after that, probably not for anyone else. But
and yeah. I've heard you say that on the show before. I gotta tell you, I stand with your co-host. I am on the exact polar opposite side of that, man. Mm-hmm. Once James left, the way he left, and yeah, I get it. I understand what he did while he was here, but man, I can't see him win a championship with another team. Which means, because I don't want to see it, it's going to happen. But that's going to be the worst part of my summer should that happen. So I really don't want, I live out here in Los Angeles now. So I'm on the West Coast. Mm-hmm. I have to deal with all the Laker fans surrounding me every day. And I don't want to root for the Lakers in that finals, but if I have to, if it's the lesser of two evils, I think I'm going to be pushed towards the Lakers side. I really don't want that. I don't, but
yeah,
I just don't want Harden to have that ring like that.
I feel that. I feel that. I feel that, Jay. But before you go, I want to play a game with you, right? You mentioned it at the beginning of your guest spot here about how many guys have played for the Clippers and the Rockets in the last, yes, you know, who knows how long. Can you name all of them?
All of them? No. Gosh. Okay, so we want to name the players that have gone between the Rockets and the Clippers
since they last met in the playoffs in 2015.
Jeez. Okay. Okay. Let's see.
All right.
Okay. Chris Paul.
So that's one.
Patrick Beverley.
Okay.
Gosh, what's the kid who plays for the Lakers now? Montrezl Harrell.
Three.
Lou Williams.
Four.
Sorry, my whole house is exploding in a parking lot just because I'm trying to talk. Let's see, who else? Patrick Patterson, we talked about him. Let's see, who else was a Rocket?
Gosh, you're at five right now.
Okay, five out of how many?
That's a good question.
It seems like five out of infinity, but let's see who else went back and forth in that trade. I said Lou Williams. I said, Patrick Patterson. I said, Pat Bev. I said, Chris Paul.
Chris Paul.
I said,
Montrezl Harrell.
Montrezl Harrell. I said Montrezl Harrell. Gosh, I think I may be tapped out, even though I'm, no, it wasn't Josh Smith. Gosh, I think I'm tapped out. Oh, so my wife just walked in, and she's an avid Clippers fan.
Let the wife play.
It's a house divide.
Bring the wife in. Jay, bring your wife on the show.
Would you like to say
mention your wife?
What's up?
Hello, Mrs. Davis. Hello, Ms. Jay.
Hello.
We're playing a game Mrs. Stone Davis. Yeah. This is Stone. So we've got your son here. We've got your husband here on Millionaire, and he's finding a friend, and we we're trying to name every player that's played for the Clippers and Rockets since 2015.
Ooh,
it's a lot.
So he's got Lou Will. He's got Patrick Patterson, Patrick Beverley, Chris Paul, Montrezl Harrell. Floor is yours.
You don't have Eric.
Eric Gordon. Wait, yep. Eric Gordon. Yeah. Wow. See, look, she's paying dividends already. She's paying dividends already. So
the wife knows.
But yeah, I think I've hit the max, man. I'm sure there are some wing players I'm forgetting. I feel like Trevor Ariza, because he's played for everybody, but he didn't play for the Clippers. He was a Laker, but he didn't play for the Clippers.
Trevor Ariza's played for 29 NBA teams. The only team he hasn't played for is the Clippers. No, he's played for like 15, maybe 15.
And I believe that. So I think that's it for me.
Fair enough. I'm actually trying to tally up, fact checking here on my end, but I've already got like maybe four more already on my list.
Okay.
I kind of came up with this on the spot, so I'm trying to make sure I have all of my T's crossed and my I's dotted. But other guys on this list, how about Bobby Brown on this list too? So you remember Bobby Brown, right?
I do remember Bobby Brown. Yeah,
Bobby Brown, great
who
guy.
Who was essentially on the team because he was friends with Harden and Tucker.
Yeah. How about Luke Bamute? He also played for both the Clippers and the Rockets. I guess you can also add Pablo Prigioni. Pablo Prigioni played for both the Clippers and the Rockets. Josh Smith also played for the Clippers and the Rockets. Sam Decker.
So I had Josh Smith in the back of my head, but I just couldn't remember him in a Clippers jersey.
He went there right after he like sunned them in game six. He said, yep.
That's right. I remember that.
So yeah, Josh Smith. You also have Eric Gordon, Sam Decker, Bobby Brown, Luke Bamute. Can't forget Coach's son, Austin Rivers.
Coach's baby boy. You can't forget him.
He's on this list. I want to say there is Ben McLemore plays for the Lakers, but Jeff Green's also on this list. So there's another guy. I'm already at least 12. I'm gonna list everybody after this. But yeah, that's a lot. I think I'm done. I think we're done. I think I've listed everyone. But yeah, let's go over this list one more time. Just for old time's sake. So Lou Williams, Patrick Patterson, Patrick Beverley, Chris Paul, Montrezl Harrell, Pablo Prigioni, Josh Smith, Eric Gordon, Sam Decker, Bobby Brown, Luke Bamute, Austin Rivers, Jeff Green. That's a whole roster. That's 13 guys.
I hope I'm saying it right, but Vinicius, I think it was the other Morris that played for us.
Oh yeah, and Marcus Morris. Yeah.
Okay. So wait, was it just his twin that played for us, but did he also play for the Clippers?
No, Marcus Morris, he did not play in the game tonight, but he was drafted by the Rockets. That's a good find, Vinny. I appreciate that. So yeah, that's 14 guys that have played for both the Rockets and the Clippers. But yeah, that's kind of crazy.
That's a great game.
Kind of crazy. And who knows? Could John Wall be the 15th man on that list? and Luke Kennard, maybe. Maybe Rajon Rondo. Who knows? But Jay, I appreciate you coming up. Appreciate your wife coming up and having a laugh with us. Thank you for supporting the show. Maybe catch you around sometime soon.
Thank you again, Jeremy. I surely plan to be in the room a few more times, man. I'm really enjoying myself tonight. Thank you.
Absolutely. Yep. So that is Mr. J and his wife. Thank you guys for coming to play that impromptu game show here on the Dream Take. But yeah, I mean, look, tonight was a fun night for the Rockets, fun night here on Locker Room, talking the Dream Take, but also wanted to address Tad Brown announcing that he was stepping down at the end of the season. He announced that just before tip-off today. And Tad Brown has been a crucial part of the organization for a very long time. He's been the CEO for now 15 years, which is a very long time. And he has said that, he's recognized that, it's time to move on. And And I don't necessarily think this is a sign that the organization is changing or changing for the worse, but, you know, when you're at a place of employment for 15 years, it's a very long time. And oftentimes you do as much as you can while you're there. And look, just like James Harden, when he left, he did all that he could for the Rockets at that point. Yes, he could have done more. Yes, all of the team, the whole team before Harden could have done more. But at the end of the day, you kind of have to know when it's time to move on and search for opportunities. And it's crazy how a lot of teams have in Houston have kind of undergone the same transition at the same time. And I don't necessarily think it's a curse of Houston or anything like that, but I just think it's a sign of the times for all three of these teams, and they just so happen to be at the same time. And it's unfortunate. Yeah, it is unfortunate. It is the end. It's more of a sign that it's the end of an era. And we've kind of had to face that reality after every game in this season since the Harden trade. And, you know, it's just incredibly it's not necessarily unfortunate. It's not sad. It's, you know, thank you, Tad Brown, for 15 great years in Houston. You definitely left your mark on the organization, and the Rockets as a whole would not be as successful as they were without you. You know, also being eliminated from playoff contention earlier this week, the Rockets are the only team to have made it to the playoffs in each of the last 8 seasons. Very difficult to do. And to think that the Spurs have had a longer stretch, they had like a 20-year stretch of doing that, only makes me appreciate what they did that much more. I don't have to like it. Like, I'm not saying I like the Spurs here. I'm absolutely not a Spurs guy. Don't get me wrong. But it makes me respect what they did more, because the Rockets, they did something that no other team could do in these last 8 years, make the playoffs every year. And that run was incredible. The 2010s in the Rockets era, and that will always, I will always remember that as like my era of peak Rockets. Hopefully it's not the peak, because hopefully something better is coming down the line. It might not be for a while, though, but it's just a sign of the times. Sign of the times by Harry Styles, go stream it. But, yeah, it's just, that's all I've really got to say on the issue. But, Tad Brown, thank you for 15 years of service with the Rockets organization. Heading into tomorrow night, this game's going to be rough. I'm just telling y'all right now, back-to-backs in Denver are never, never fun. I don't know why we keep scheduling them. The Rockets got their, you know, booties handed to them just a week ago by 30 points at home. I can't imagine what's going to happen on the road. Now, Denver is also in a back-to-back. They're playing the Golden State Warriors as I speak. But, I mean, there's a difference between the Warriors, who are 500, and the Rockets, who are now 30 games under 500. So I'm not expecting a lot out of the Rockets tomorrow, but as long as we get some kind of effort and we get some kind of just sign that players are improving, and as long as everyone has fun and nobody gets hurt, that's what I'm looking for tomorrow night's game. John Wall may not play, or he might, because Kevin Porter is still in protocols, but John Wall doesn't play back-to-backs, so the Rockets may not even have like a true point guard going into this game tomorrow. Like, this is not good. Like, not good at all. But, you know, if go watch that game, go check out the next episode of the Dream Take on our Facebook Live with Michael Brown tomorrow. I'm sure he'll make something fun out of it on a Saturday night in a game that's probably going to be over by halftime, and if not by halftime, before it starts. But go ahead and like us on Facebook if you're over there. Hit me up here on Locker Room as well. I'm in a lot of rooms here every day on this app. It's one of my favorite apps I've ever been on. Really, guys, go and download this app. It's only for Apple users, but it is moving towards Android within the coming months. So stick around. Stay tuned for that as well. Be sure to also go follow The Dream Take on Twitter at The Dream Take, and The Dream Shake on Twitter at DreamShakeSBN. And you can also follow my personal Twitter at Jeremy Brenner. That's JeremyBrenner. You can also check out all things Houston Rockets for SBNation.com at TheDreamShake.com. Thank you guys so much for tuning into this episode. Thank you to Vinny and Christian for sticking around, listening to me ramble for 45 minutes. Thank you to Jay and his wife for playing the impromptu Dream Take game show. And until next time, go Rockets!